heard this before. Last week, I ran over the Easter Bunny. I ran over the Easter Bunny, and there were some kids in the car in front of me. They were going all to pieces, and they were saying, "Mama, Mama, Mama, look." So I said, "Hold on." I went to the back of my car, and I pulled out a can of spray, and I walked up, and I sprayed the bunny, and it jumped back up to life, and it started hopping away. And as it was hopping away, it would turn every 10 foot and wave at me. It would hop 10 foot and turn around and wave at me. Hop 10 foot and turn away from me. And the woman says, "That's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. What in the world did you have that could do what you just did to that dead bunny?" And I showed her a can. I said, it's hairspray. It says, "Restore life to dead limp hair. Adds a permanent permanent wave." Yeah, there you go. That was a good one. Turn to Matthew. God's so good to us. God is so good. We're gonna take a whole different look to the resurrection this morning. There's a lot of people in here that are hurting. And they really need God's help. And it's not just they need to sense God, but they need to understand the power of the resurrection and what the resurrection can do. So today's going to be different, but at the same time, it's still going to be very, very powerful. Get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the word. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verse 1, at the end of the Sabbath, as it was began to dawn toward the first day of the week, y'all say it was still dark. Amen. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, it goeth before you into Galilee, therefore you shall see him. Have I told you? Lo, have I told you?" And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well. And we know, God, that you rose on that day. No other person that ever claimed to be God has that saying that they can say that they actually rose from the dead. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to understand your power, to understand your authority, and to understand this day that there's such powerful things that happen when the resurrection takes place. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The church said, amen. Look at somebody and tell them the past is behind us. We really mean this today. The past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm still going to sit down for a while. One of these days, this knee's going to be good, and we ain't got to worry about all that. God's going to resurrect this day this morning. I said, Lord resurrected it. He resurrected it. But my walking put her back down. Amen. God's awesome. This morning, we're on holy ground. Not because of this building, not because of a program, but because the tomb is empty. Because we don't serve a dead Savior, We serve a living Savior. This is not a memorial service. This is not a funeral. I preached a funeral yesterday. I got another funeral this week in Virginia to preach. This is not a funeral. This is not a moment of silence. This is a celebration of the greatest reversal in human history, and that is the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They couldn't keep him down. Amen, amen. The resurrection is not just an event for us to remember. It's a revelation that we are to live in. It's something that should affect your life, every part of your life, every day to your life. And the empty tomb speaks louder than your past. It speaks louder than your pain. It speaks louder than your fear. It speaks louder than death itself. God is alive. Y'all say it. God is alive. Amen, amen. So now, let's go ahead and go up here and let's see what's going on here. I love it. Jesus Christ coming out of that tomb. The empty tomb is God's eternal announcement. Number one, that death does not win. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, death doesn't win. Death doesn't get the last word. Amen. Watch this. Oh, back her up. I got really happy. I got pushing that thing. Ready? Darkness doesn't last. Somebody tell somebody darkness doesn't last. Darkness doesn't get to be the final chapter in your life. The grave doesn't get to be your victory, but life is your victory. God's got you. 100% God's got you. Now, I want you to say this with me. Ready? Say this now. Say, my hope is alive. My hope is alive. There we go. I'm going to get it up here in a second. There we are. Woo! Praise God. I'm getting so happy. I'm just pushing buttons everywhere. Got a new computer too, so that thing has got a hair trigger. My other one, it was like a squirrel cage. I had to keep it running and kick it every now and then. This one is, all right. So I want somebody to shout, my God can bring dead things back to life. Look at somebody else and tell them, my God can bring dead things back to life. Amen? Isn't God good? All the time. You know, the Bible tells us that early in the morning, before the dawn, that these women, they went to embalm Jesus. Now, watch this now. What's really happening here, because it's at dawn, the Bible says the women came to the tomb, listen, while it's still dark. Not after sunrise, not when things made sense. Well, come on, some of y'all got to get this. And not when the path was clear. They came in the dark. You see, if you need something to resurrect in your life, that I promise you, it begins before you understand it. It begins before God shows you the path. It begins before the light even begins to shine on it. You got to trust God that He's working in your dark more strongly than you've ever seen. You got to trust Him. Sometimes I don't see it, but you know what? When it happens, it's amazing because God is so awesome. So watch this. God works when you can't see Him. Amen. Darkness is not defeat. Amen. A seed grows in the dark. A baby is formed in the dark. A diamond is shaped in the dark. And Jesus rose in the dark. And I can promise you, if you got a need right now, you may not can feel it, you may not can see it, you may not can smell it, but I promise you, you got a miracle taking place right now, and it's developing as we speak in the dark room. Amen. You got to trust God with everything you got, because just because you can't see God is working doesn't mean that He's not working. I promise you, because just because you can't feel Him doesn't mean that He can't feel you. Amen. So here it is. Darkness does not defeat its preparation. The hope is your night. Listen, your night is not your ending. Tell somebody, look at him and say, your night is not your ending. Tell somebody else, your night is not your ending. Tell somebody, your night is not your ending. Amen? Glory to the Lamb of God. God is so, so awesome. All right, so here it goes. Look, Now, let's break into it a little bit. Ready? Just because you can't see God working doesn't mean he's not working. Here's the challenge. Listen carefully. Don't point at anybody else. I want you to think about this all about yourself. Where have you mistaken God's silence for God's absence? Where in your life, what problem in your life, what problem in your family, have you mistaken God's silence for God's absence? That's a very, very, very powerful thought. Here's the application. I want you to trust God in the dark because he's preparing a dawn that you haven't even seen yet. Y'all holler out. Ready? When I tell you, I want you to holler out, he's working in my dark. Y'all ready? One, two, three. He's working in my dark. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap and let's do it again. Say it again. He's working in my dark. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all are doing it. I like this. I like us going back and forth. This is good stuff. All right, get ready. I love it. The women in Mark 16, they were going to roll away the stone. Now, the tomb, the stone weighed 1,000+ pounds. It took a bunch of men to move it. It would fall down in a slot. And so to get it out, it might even require more than men. It might require animals to help pull this stone out of this slot. But that didn't stop the ladies from going to go to bomb him. And as going to go and bomb him, in Mark 16 it says, who's going to roll away the stone? It's in the present tense, which means they kept saying, who's going to roll away the stone? Their whole conversation on the way there is, who's going to roll away the stone? That was their conversation, but you know what? It didn't stop them. How many people in here are letting things you can't see stop you? Letting things you can't do stop you? So they were worried about the problem and they hadn't even reached it yet. Think about that. They were worried about a problem. They hadn't even got there yet. How many here's got things in your mind right now? You're so anxious because you don't know how it's going to work out. You ain't even got there yet. Can you trust God to work in your dark? How many nights have you lost sleep? How many nights have you cried and thought that the enemy had won just because you hadn't seen anything yet? You know what? God's got you. You see, who rolled away this stone? They were worried about a stone. Ready? They were worried about a stone that God had already moved. Some of y'all in here right now, you got problems in your life. You got a stone between you and your problem, and it's worrying you to death. And you're worried to death about that problem, and it's got you stopped dead in your tracks, not realizing that God's already gone ahead of you, and God's already moved that stone. If you'll just step up and step forward, you'll get a chance to see God do something very powerful, because God solves problems ahead of you if you just move toward it. Amen. Here's some insight. God... Here, come on, there we go. Get on over there. Here we go. God solves problems that you haven't even reached yet. Here's the challenge. Ready? Think about it. What stone have you been stressing over that God's already handled? Think about it. What stone are you stressing? We got some artificial flowers up here, and I'm allergic to them. I got it. Amen. All right. I was walking through the detention center the other day, and it's normally, I reckon it's green. That's all it looks like to me. And it's going downhill, and it's green. I was going to the detention center, and it was all yellow from pollen. And I was thinking, I don't think those guys, when they were locked up, were singing, "Follow the Yellow Brick Road." Amen. So get ready. Say it out loud. I will move forward. I didn't hear you. Say it again.
I will move forward.
Amen. Amen. It's not going to take us long today. All right. Ready? Lesson 3. from the resurrection. And here's where I really want to camp. He is not here. He is risen. Some of y'all really need to hear this today. So listen good. The resurrection rewrites your past. Don't raise your hands. How many in here today are held back by your past? How many in here today would attempt other things and more things if it wasn't for something in their past that held them back? The empty tomb is God's receipt, paid in full. Bless you, bro. Thank you. Thank you. You got a piece of candy, too. He found it for an Easter egg hunt. Y'all remember we had an Easter egg hunt here last week? I still got the Easter eggs right up here. All right. You ready? Your past is not your identity. I talked to guys all week. Not just in the detention center, in Walmart, in Food Line, on the phone, no matter where. They're letting their past be their identity. You see, the empty tomb is that receipt that you don't have to live that way anymore. Your past does not hold your future. And remember this, you don't owe sin anything. You don't owe shame anything. You don't owe your past anything. Stop living like you're on trial every day. How could you live, or how would tomorrow be if you got up and moved like the trial is over? I got a call not long ago. I was talking to an Iraqi veteran with PTSD. He had seen limbs blown off of roadside bombs. He'd smelt the smell. And he got up on top of a wreck where that had happened. And there was limbs all over the road, and he could smell that smell. And he called me up and he said, "Talk to me." And I said, "What happened?" And he told me. And I said, "You're back in Iraq right now, aren't you?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Buddy, you're going to have to move forward. Get back in the present today. Get back up here. Don't stay back there." He said, "Yeah, but what I saw was so vivid that it reminded me of what I had seen and what had controlled me. I got past it, but just seeing it like this in living color and smelling it brought it all back." There's so many people, even in here, that you're living in your past. You can't get past it. You can't let God make that new person out of you because you feel like you're still on trial. And I'm here to tell you today that it's already taken care of. Quit carrying the guilt. Jesus already buried it. Quit dragging around your chains. Jesus already broke it. Quit rehearsing your mistakes because Jesus already forgave you. Amen? Yes, say amen. Look at somebody. Ready? Look at somebody and say, "Stop living like someone still on trial." Tell them again, "Stop living like someone still on trial." Amen? Amen. Now, lesson number 4. We've only got 7 lessons, so we're really doing good. Amen? Unless I can think of 5 more, we got 7 more left. 3 more after 4. All right, ready? Stop living like someone on trial. Jesus already declared you free. Here's the challenge. Are you carrying guilt that Jesus already buried? I talk to people every day, in all kinds of places. I can be in Walmart, And somebody come in. Sometimes they come in and start talking to me. I went to a place the other night, and I accidentally sat on a man. I didn't see him sitting on the bench. This is the truth. I sat on him. And Linda said, "Didn't you see that big man?" I thought she was talking to him. And obviously I've seen him before. I don't know where. But he started talking to me like he had known me for a long time. I said, "Well, we have only been close for a short while." Oh, praise God. But I thought about that right now. How many are sitting here right now with guilt sitting on you like that? I know you had to be there to see it. It was a sight to behold, I'm telling you. I'm glad I was bigger than he was. All right. You know you're bigger when you sit on a man, he apologizes. All right, let me get back over here to the resurrection. That wasn't a resurrection, that was a set down. All right. Ready? Ooh, what did I do? There it is. Let the resurrection rewrite your idea. I should have never brought that up. Amen. All right. So let's get ready. Let's go. We're moving on. Ready? Here's number 4. Jesus knows you by name. If you're looking here, y'all will see your name. Well, he can stop waiting for you to look at all of them, but your name's in there. So ready? Jesus knows you by name. When Mary came to the tomb, he hollered, "Mary." You see, listen carefully. Mary's standing at the tomb. She's crying. She's confused. She's overwhelmed. She thinks that they've taken Jesus and that Jesus is the gardener. And Jesus says one word, "Mary." That's all, Mary. You see, Mary doesn't recognize Jesus till he says her name. But once he says her name, everything changes. The resurrection restores your identity. Whatever you were, if you'll let Jesus do his work in your life, man, it's amazing what God can do. And the insight, let's watch this. God doesn't just save crowds. He saves people personally, intimately, and individually. I want somebody to look at somebody and say it loud, "He knows my name." Say it. One night we were in a detention center, and it was me and Danny, and we were over in behavioral management in D block. And it had 7 blocks downstairs, 7 blocks upstairs. And I'd gone upstairs, and Danny come up to me and said, "You got to go to that end cell." I said, "Why?" He said, "He wants you now." And I said, "Well, tell him I'm at this end, and I'll work my way down to him." He said, "No, he wants you now." I said, one of Danny's first times too. And Danny said, "But he wants you now. He knows your name." I said, "Well, I don't know who he is." I said, tell him I'll be down there. When I get to him, I got to minister in order." And so he said, "But he knows your name, and he knows my name." Danny had never been in there. So when I finally got to him, I looked back in the cell, and behind the cell was a silhouette he had painted of Satan. With the stuff he had, just the stuff he had. This is Greenville. They have more stuff than they do in Washington, but he had this silhouette of Satan drawn in the back of his cell. And he started laying me out. And I said, put your hand up here on this window. And he put his hand on the window. And I slid to the side so he couldn't see my mouth. And I said, Satan, this is not between you and me. This is not between him and me. This is between you and my Father. And in the name of Jesus, you ain't got any place in here. You got to go. And I went back and looked at him. And he was already getting different. He said, talk to me. And so I got talking to him. The next time I came back, he had a nice little flowery meadow put where he had Satan. But when we left that place, Danny couldn't get it out of his mind. He knew our name. He knew our name. He knew our name. He's coming for us. I said, Danny, do you remember the seven sons of Sceva? He said, yeah. I said, the seven sons of Sceva went to cast out demons. And the demons said, Jesus we know. And Paul we know. But who are you? And they jumped on them seven sons of Sceva and beat the dickens out of them. I said, so you need to be excited, Danny. He knew our name. And Danny said, I didn't think about it that way. I said, you better go ahead and get happy, Danny, because Satan knows who you are, and he's scared of you. And he went, oh, yeah, there you go. All right. Here's the challenge. Ready? What voice are you letting define you? Sinner? Failure? Deadbeat? Never make it? Things you did in your past? What are you letting define you? Let Christ rename you today. Here's some words just for you. Forgiven. Y'all say this with me. Forgiven. Loved. Chosen. Free. Y'all say it again. Forgiven. Loved. Chosen. Free. And again, shout it. He knows my name. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Amen. We're getting close to the end now. Some of y'all got that. We need to beat the Baptist to McDonald's look in your eye. It'll be all right. All right. Lesson 5. The resurrection breaks fear. He said in verse 5, do not be afraid. You see, fear is the first thing the resurrection confronts. Fear is a tomb. It's dark. It's cold. It's confining. It buries your potential. It buries your purpose. It buries your joy. But resurrection shatters the tomb from the inside out. Amen? So the very first thing the resurrection did was it confronted fear. You see, fear is loud, but not as loud as the Lord. Amen? Here's the challenge. Ready? Think about it. You're not talking to anybody else. It's just you. What fear has been burying your faith? Some of you, it's the doctor's report. Some of you, it's your job. Some of you, it's the economy. There's something, it's your marriage. Something has been burying your faith, and you got to let God, His resurrection, do this. So here's the hope. You don't have to live in the tomb level fear. Ready? You don't have to live in tomb level fear. I want y'all to shout. Ready? 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 You got to listen to me. I want you to tell you to. Here's the words. Fear has no tomb for me. Ready? You got to say, fear has no tomb for me. 1, 2, 3. Fear has no tomb for me. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Go ahead. Here we go. Finally, or next to finally, the resurrection sends you on a mission. Go quickly and tell what you see. Go quickly. You know why I told them to go quickly? Because if you hadn't told them to go quickly, they'd have to think about it. Some of y'all would talk about God to other people, but you have to stop and think about it. You got to figure it all out. Am I going to make a dummy out of myself? Am I going to get hurt? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? You know, over the years going to the pit, I found out some of the biggest, baddest, meanest guys when you start talking about God, and especially when you get them in a room by themselves, will cry like a baby. When I'm in that room, I keep this word in that room in a closet beside in the room where I'm at. There's a closet full of toilet paper and other things. And if I see 10 guys, 9 of them, I've got to go in there and grab a roll of toilet paper because they're crying so hard. They need to keep their face clean and their eyes clean. You see, don't let their size intimidate you. Don't let what they look like intimidate you. I saw a guy one day, and he was looking pitiful. And I said, are you happy? He said, yeah. I said, well, how about let your brain tell your face? I know some. He looked like y'all look right now. All right. You ready? Resurrection people are not silent people. Yesterday's, there it goes again. What am I doing? Here you go. I'm telling you, this thing here's got a hair trigger. Yeah, hairspray. Yeah. Your testimony is somebody's doorway to hope. Amen? Now, here we go. Here we go. I'm closing. I'm pulling in. I'm pulling in to the truck stop now. Why God raised you, listen, why God raised in you, you can raise in someone else. You see, hurt people. You know that? But healed people, we love to quote hurt people, what about healed people? Wow. You see, who needs to hear your story? You know, sometimes we get so busy talking about ourselves that we won't stop and let them talk about their self. I was with a guy one day, and he was singing all about himself, and he finally said, enough of me talking about me, now you talk about me for a while. Stop and listen to people's stories. One of the biggest things I like to do when I'm talking to somebody I don't know is I say, tell me your story. Tell me. And I'll be quiet long enough to listen. You see, there's two ways you can listen. You can listen to respond or listen to understand. If you're listening to respond, you're waiting for that little doorway for you to tell your story. If you're listening to understand, you just let them talk. And when they get silent, you give them a moment because they may be getting choked up or they're trying to get their facts right. But listen to people. Let them tell you. Try this tomorrow. When you get around people, especially people you see that you think really needs hope, say when you sit down with them, say, tell me your story. Tell me. And just be quiet. And if they say, well, I was having a bad day. I had a bad day too. No. Just listen to respond. I had a bad day. I said, well, tell me about it. Well, you know, I lost my child. I can go, I lost my child too. And I can tell it was, no. I lost my child. And I go, that had to be awful. Tell me. Tell me. And they start talking again. And as soon as they give that trigger word, you go right back into talking about yourself. No. You got to let them tell you their story. And when they get through telling their story, then you can tell them yours and how God did something special when you were going through that and how God ministered in your pain. Everybody in here has got a story to tell. Everybody. Everybody. I want y'all to shout it out. I have a story to tell. Say it. I have a story to tell. Amen. And finally, number 7. DC, come on up here and start playing something, buddy. Resurrection guarantees your future. He said, because John 14, he said, because I live, you live also. He's alive, we're alive. He's living after death, we're going to be living after death. Amen? Your future is anchored, and it's not fragile. You see, Sunday people live without Friday fear. Because he lives, you're going to live. A kite flies because it's anchored. Did you know that? It flies because it's anchored. Your life rises because you're anchored in a risen Christ. The empty tomb means that your destiny is secure, that your future is not determined by your past. It is determined by His resurrection. Somebody say, my future is anchored. Put your hands up and say it. My future is anchored. Amen. The resurrection is still happening. Amen. It's not an event to remember. It's a power to live in. It's a promise to stand on. And it's a person to follow. Amen. Everybody stand up. Together, I want y'all to read this with me. This right here. And I want you to think about it when you say it, and I want you to mean it. Ready? Jesus is still raising dead hope, restoring dead dreams, reviving dead faith, rebuilding dead families, renewing dead hearts. If the tomb is empty, anything is possible. Give the Lord a hand clap. One more, and then I want you to close your eyes. Ready? Say this out loud. Lord, raise what I cannot raise. Heal what I cannot heal. Restore what I cannot restore. Because You live, I can live. Yes! Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Nobody looking around. If you're here today and you can honestly say with all your heart that you're not ready, nobody looking around, I'm not going to call you out and make an example of you. You're going to stay right in your seat. If you're here today and you can honestly say, if the Lord come back, I know I wouldn't be ready, and I really want to be. I want that resurrection power, and I want that resurrection hope, because I'm tired of living in the tomb. Nobody looking around. If you're here today and I'm talking to you and you're ready for God to remove you from that tomb, would you raise that hand? Raise that hand. Hands are going up everywhere. Raise that hand. I'm ready to get out of that tomb. I want you to repeat after me. Everybody say this. Everybody. Everybody. Lord, I rededicate my life to You. Remove the tomb from my life. Help me to step out in the resurrection power. In the name of Jesus, I believe I am healed and that You got me. I thank You for it, God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. One more time, close your eyes. Bow your heads. Maybe you're here today and you believe God's coming back and you believe you're going to go with Him when He comes back. But at this moment, you may be living out of the tomb, but you're working around and living around a lot of people that still live in that tomb. Not only do they live in that tomb, they drag that tomb around with them and change, and they flaunt it in your face. And it causes a lot of pain in your life. And Satan tries to drag you back down to their level. But this is the point where your story makes that difference. But you got to live it before Him. But you're saying, Pastor, I want to, but I'm just so tired of this. If I'm talking to you, nobody looking around, could you just put that hand up? Hands everywhere. Hands everywhere. I thank You, God. I thank You, God. Let's pray together. Lord, help me to live the life that You gave me in the very midst of the tomb of others. Help me speak to those in the tomb. like you did with Lazarus. By my life, I'm crying, come forth. And I thank you for it right now. Lord, I thank you for power and anointing, and I thank you for touching these people, Lord. Bless them in a very powerful way. Let your spirit, your anointing, let everything within you, God, touch us right now, Lord, and help us, everything within us, reach up to you and know that your Son is alive and we're walking into resurrection. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name and we thank you for everything you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and then I'm going to ask Brother Doug to dismiss us in prayer. Okay, let's do it together. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together, then Brother Doug takes it. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but